or good afternoon, or good evening, podcast listeners for Medical Education, whatever time it happens to be while you're listening to this. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief from the journal, and today I'm talking about the fourth in our series of the State of the Science issues that we began releasing every January back in 2010. This coming January's issue, January 2013, we've decided to turn over to the social scientists, and as a result have called it the State of the Social Science issue, building on our endless creativity. The stimulus for focusing this one on the social sciences came about in large part because of a symposium that I attended at the University of Toronto about a year and a half ago now, I suppose, that was organized by Tina Martimianakis and Mathieu Albert, and I have both of them on the podcast with me this morning. So first of all, thank you both for taking the time to be here.
Thank you for having us, Kevin.
Yeah, it's a pleasure for me to be here.
Yeah, so I'll alert our listeners to the fact that you've both written an editorial introducing the issue called Confronting Complexity, Medical Education, Social Theory, and the Fate of Our Times. Before we get into any of that, though, perhaps I could ask you to give a brief introduction of yourselves and let our listeners know what you do and what background you've come from.
Sure. So thank you, Kevin. As you mentioned, I work in the University of Toronto. I'm a faculty member in the Department of Pediatrics at SickKids, and I'm cross-appointed to the Wilson Center for Research and Education. I have a PhD in the sociopolitics of education and a political science background, and I study issues related to the governance of knowledge production as they apply to health professions. And I'm particularly intrigued by the intersection between governance and identity.
Yes, so I'm Mathieu Albert. I'm currently the interim director of the Wilson Center. I have a PhD in sociology, more specifically in sociology of science. And my area of research currently, which I am truly passionate about, is interdisciplinary research, which means how people from various scientific backgrounds and scientific culture, I would say, how they collaborate, and also how they don't collaborate, because there are many cultural barriers that stop people from collaborating.
Great, thank you. Mathieu, your last point of introduction was actually a perfect jumping off point to start talking about this particular issue. The symposium that stimulated this and the issue itself really was an effort to bring together a group of contributors from diverse backgrounds and give them an opportunity to see where there might be some opportunity for crosstalk. Can the two of you tell our listeners a bit about what your goals were for hosting the symposium in the first place and what you hoped would come from it?
Yeah, okay. Can I start?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I think that the initial idea from Tina and me was we wanted to have the voices of the social sciences put forward, because in my view, there was not enough of that in medical education research. And the second one is to have people from a broad spectrum of the social science participating in this symposium.
And for me, just this sense that we were quite well supported within our group at the Wilson Center, because it's there's a very robust social science team. But when we ventured outside the Wilson Center, we felt not alone, but very singular, that we would end up in settings where we were the lone social scientist. So this was another way for us to see who else is out there and who else might be feeling a little bit isolated. So when we put out the call, we had no clue who would be responding, because we went outside of our normal network to collaboration. And we intentionally tried not to give the podium to individuals that we already worked with.
Yeah, and I must say that I do think that since the symposium, so about a year and a half or even 2 years from now, we have really reached out. Mm-hmm. We have encounters, we have heard, we have collaborated with a lot of social scientists. And this sub-field or research sector is rapidly growing. And I was very happy about this. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so it's a feeling of isolation, or the feeling that there's perhaps not as much social science being used in this field as could be, that I'd love to pick up on. I wonder the extent to which our broader readership has a really strong sense of how you would define social science and what it has to offer to the broader field. Can you speak a little bit about why you think there could be value in embedding more of the social sciences in medical education?
Okay. So first of all, we've been using the term social science as an umbrella term. And within that, we're actually encompassing so many histories and disciplines. And right now, in contemporary context, speaking about, for example, sociology as distinct from political science, as distinct from history, as distinct from the humanities, is slightly arbitrary because they have so much crossover in terms of the types of questions that they engage with. There's a lot of intersections, I should say. So we intentionally left the term social science pretty broad and open to see who would respond to our call. And we had people from philosophy submit proposals, and we have people from the humanities, sociology,
anthropology,
various disciplines, which was really nice.
Psychology.
Mm-hmm. Economics, political economy. So which was very nice to see. But what the one thing that they all had in common was that they were looking at making sense of social life, making meaning out of social relationships, questions related to identity, to roots, to how institutions come together. So that's what a social scientist generally does. They focus their work on making sense of how we get along with each other in society and the types of institutions, policies, processes that we put in place in order to create a cohesion for our lives.
In my view, if I can build on this, I think that it's important to have in our field have the voice of social scientists, because the social scientists, the way that they frame their research question, they bring to light things that we don't see but that are there and frame the social relationship and the various institutions in which we work. I think that our field has for a long time, and I think we should consider this as a historical fact, our field has been dominated by psychometricians for many, many years. I have nothing against psychometricians.
Well, point noted.
But including people from other disciplines provide a nouveau regard. What is a nouveau regard?
A new outlook.
Yes, a new outlook on this broad topic of the education of health professionals.
A few days ago, I was teaching a beginner's class in interviews and focus groups and why we use them and when we use them. And inevitably, this question always comes up, which is, how is what we're doing through interviews connect to quantitative approaches? So what's the difference between quantitative and qualitative? But when you probe deeper and see what the student is really after, is how does this kind of making sense of the world actually meaningful in comparison to what we've been brought up to think as the goal, which is to measure, predict, control, being able to use this information to make decisions based on large numbers, etc. How can we still make sense of the world in a meaningful way and keep our work relevant if we go into the qualitative side? So we always try to not make it a conversation about numbers or words, because that's not what social scientists do. We use numbers too, but it's a different way of making sense of the world that our lenses bring.
The other tension that commonly comes up whenever people start talking about using theory in general, be it social science theory or otherwise, is, as both of you have said, there is this practical reality, and medical education is a practical field. And I know Matthew has written in particular about the tension between creating knowledge for the sake of the producers versus creating it for the sake of the users. How do you advise social scientists hoping to make an impact on medical education in terms of how they can conduct studies that are true to their social scientific roots while also ensuring some practical relevance?
Can I?
Yeah.
I don't see any contradiction between having a practical outcome of research and doing theoretically grounded research. For me, there's absolutely no antinomy here. In order for me to get to the core of the thing, le cœur des choses, the core of the thing, I necessarily need always to have a concept somewhere to help me make sense intellectually, analytically. I need a concept just to frame my research question. in order for me to have the feeling that I'm asking the right research question. And then after the outcome of the research can have, and all of my research, well, I do hope that they have, a practical outcome. So there's no distinction for me between theory-based research and practical research. For me, it's a question of having the analytical tool to come to the right question. This is how I do see my work. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't find any contradictions with my role in the Department of Pediatrics. Otherwise, why would I be there? But it's quite interesting in that a lot of my inspiration comes from participating very actively in decision-making within the department, helping other individuals figure out where they want to go from A to Z and how to get there, and some of the problems my clinical colleagues are facing day-to-day. So the practical issues can be taken up in a quite theoretical way, but then given back meaningfully through our participation in curriculum development, administrative work, and in other ways. So I don't see a contradiction either.
Yeah, and that aligns very well with my position. It's always intriguing to me how quickly these sorts of tensions get pushed to opposite ends of a pole. In fact, in your editorial that's introducing this special issue, you open up by noting that the social sciences can help people make sense of these sorts of paradoxes and the difficulty of one's practice potentially impacting upon the diverse and broad views of clinical care and compassionate care. And I just want to acknowledge the piece in your editorial that is right in the title when you say Confronting Complexity, Medical Education, Social Theory, and the Fate of Our Times, in that last phrase is something that Arthur Frank used in his keynote presentation at the symposium. So maybe I can just wrap up the podcast by asking you both to reflect on what you think Frank's message to have been and why the fate of our times can be better understood through the sorts of papers that you read in this issue.
Well, for me, it just drew out this whole notion that what we do in our everyday practice that seems very routine actually is connected to something broader. And if we focus too much on the next technical skill that we need to teach, etc., we forget the why. Why are we engaged in this activity? How does medicine fit into a broader logic of social organization? How does our approach today for teaching communications relate to humanistic care that, you know, the AMS or AFMC or the Royal College puts out as a goal for competency training? So it was an excellent way to reconnect our local everyday practices with medical educators, whether we have a clinical background or not, to our broader understanding of what are we doing all this for, and who are we doing it for, and how can we do it in a more meaningful way. One phrase that really popped out for me from this editorial was that the training of health professionals is a situated ethical practice, and that extends our social, political, and cultural claims regarding the role of knowledge making. It brings us back to our question of why we are proposing that we need more social science. Because if this is an ethical practice and our everyday decision making relates to our ethics, if we only bring to bear part of our knowledge base, then what kind of ethical practice are we promoting?
Just a few words to add. I think, broadly speaking, that medical school, at least in Canada, do need more social scientists, because social scientists bring a lens to any kind of problem or issue that medical school are facing. An example of that, in Ontario, and I'm sure it's pretty much the same thing in other countries, government want medical school to be socially accountable. Well, in order to address a question of social accountability, in my view, you need a social scientist to frame that kind of question. This is a kind of question where the expertise of social scientists can be brought to bear. The kind of response that medical school bring to society when they say, well, you know, you should be more socially responsible, well, the kind of response they give back to society is, in my view, very often ill-informed. So they're not doing the job correctly. And to have a broader thinking about this is something that should be more use in medical school. And I do hope that this special issue that will be out will help to show the utility of social science.
I think that's the perfect spot to end on, actually, because the plurality of the word lens that you just mentioned is one of the things I found particularly valuable and intriguing in reading across the series of papers that are going to be in this issue. I'll just remind our listeners as a result that we've been discussing the state of the social science issue that medical education will be releasing in January 2013, and I've been discussing it with Tina Martimianakis and Mathieu Albert, both from the University of Toronto, who have an editorial in that issue entitled Confronting Complexity, Medical Education, Social Theory, and the Fate of Our Times. Thank you both not only for putting the symposium together, but also for your help in pulling this issue together and for taking the time to chat with me this afternoon.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.